The Different Football Show. Are You Serious? On FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Yes, people, welcome back to VAR You Serious, brought to you by FUBAR Radio, myself, Cecil G, and of course, Kim Kafari. And we are in, as you know, World Cup season. And do you know what? It's funny, I was going to say, we potentially could have been out of World Cup season before, last week, coming into this week, because I was quite nervous about the game that we had on the horizon, which was, for the people in the UK, a 1 a.m. kickoff against Mexico at the Azteca. But yeah, we are still in World Cup season. Even when England are out, we still will be. But it's nice to know that England is still in it. And I think that's the best place to start. But before I get into the start, we do have a special guest joining us on today's show. So it's nice. It's been a while since we had a special guest. But in the spirit of the World Cup, in the spirit of England, it makes sense to bring the special guest on later on in the show. But Kim, you are looking very glum because you were probably back in the UK missing the vibes and energy that you got to enjoy in America. And I did say to you, there's a little feeling you get when you return back.
I'm actually depressed. I'm depressed about being back. But I'm probably looking glum because I'm so tired. That game finishing at like 4:30, and it was such a good game, I just couldn't sleep afterwards. I literally just couldn't sleep. Like, the adrenaline was too much for me, man.
It was a bit mad, I can't lie. I mean, I was knowing the fact that I had a long shooting day today, I'm just kind of wrapped on my shooting day. But I had to be up super early in central London after being in central London last night. Got back in at 5:30 a.m. Do you know what? It's a long time since I've actually left, or even left any venue or vicinity, and it's light outside.
It's crazy.
Not light, as in it's the daytime. It's light as in, yeah, it's early hours of the morning. Like, it's my worst fear, by the way.
It gave me the PTSD from my raving days. When I stepped out the pub after watching that game yesterday and it was light outside, it actually gave me PTSD.
It's honestly one of the most, I don't know what it is, it's the most humbling, it's not even humbling, it's probably not the right word, but it's just like you said, it's like, it's a throwback to days of just chaos and mess.
You just feel disgusted, no?
Yeah.
You just like feel a like a horrible person just like walking home and it's light outside. You just like, get me to bed immediately. And then you get into bed and like, you can see the light trickling through from the curtains. You just like, for God's sake.
No, it was tough. I can't lie. I literally left and it was like, the blue was light blue. And then I drove home and the sun was like, when I got home, the sun was actually out. I was like, I could start my day. I contemplated staying up. But thank God I got two and a half hours sleep. I said it was, and even though it was like a power nap, it was worth it. But it was all worth it actually because of the game, which we must go straight. All right, let's do. I like to do before the game. How was I feeling? Okay, so I'm gonna do it. People, you may respect me, you may not. I've worked in football a long time now. I mean, it was my career at one stage as a professional, but like, I've had the pleasure and honor and luck and grace to work for CONCACAF, which is a governing body as a head nation. And I've been working with Mexico for 4 years. So I know their players inside and out. Done TikToks with them, been in the team hotels, had a laugh with them, had lunch with them, worked with them in change rooms and in some of these amazing stadiums we're seeing, been pitch side with them, flew back with Raul Jimenez to the UK, lives in Surrey as well as I do, all these things. So I understood what this was, yeah? I've seen in Gold Cups and CONCACAF Nation League finals this thing that they speak about, the Mexico spirit, the untangibles, these things that they talk about. I know they spoke about climate, altitude. Didn't obviously know too much about that. I've never been to the Azteca, but I've been to big games where there's a massive Mexican following, where I watch a team that's got, I don't want to be disrespectful, but average players. Okay, the average players on paper. Us on paper. Listen, of course, they made it to the highest level, but the average players on paper. I've seen those players put incredible performances up against. And some people may laugh, but the likes of the USA when they're in their pomp and they'll fly in and absolutely destroying them. Some other Caribbean or South American teams that really have done quite well in the World Cup. And I've seen them destroy some teams. They are actually ninth ranked in the FIFA world ranking as well. There's a little fact for you there. So they're not no mugs. We're fourth, but they're ahead of many other nations that you'd think, oh, Mexico must be lower than. No, they're in a good position when it comes to the FIFA ranking. So I know what they're all about. I know about the spirit, like I said, and the heritage of, let's say, Raul Jimenez. For Mexico, I think he's a completely different player than what you see at Fulham. He's a third time, I think he's the second now, time all-time goal scorer for Mexico. Yeah. Gilberto Mora, I saw him make his debut. kid's a joke. I know we didn't really see much against England. Big him up. He's playing against him. He's a joke. He was, when he first came through, I watched him. I watched his debut. I said, he gave me Max Dalman vibes. And listen, if people know me, I love that kid. And I think he's going to be a superstar. So I was nervous about this game. The whole untangibles and the things that play factors into it, I kind of bought into it. I still backed England to win the game. But I said a 1-0 tight win. I said at first it'd be 2-1 England. And I said 1-0 actually it'd be even tighter. It didn't end up being that way. It was a fantastic, fantastic showing of just... I actually tweeted this morning. I said, that could be one of the best England performances I've actually ever seen in my lifetime. Like, I think it's up there, 100%. Obviously, a red card being given to Jack Wonsar, which also swayed the odds as well, where people were saying, now watch the atmosphere. Now watch how everything changes. All these things had people saying to me and texting me. And I was kind of half buying into it. But no, England's quality just prevailed. It rose to the top. It showed why we are such a good nation. And when we play like that, I generally think we can beat anyone. I think France would be a difficult opposition, I must say. But it really reinvigorated me. I think I said, like, it's not coming home. I'm not going to say that because it's been 60 years. It's a bit embarrassing. You keep saying it, banging that drum. Even though I love England, I just think it's a bit embarrassing because I didn't really believe it. But after that performance and that game, I'm starting to be like, this is what football does to me. And it annoys me. But it just gets me by the cojones. It says, yeah, you shouldn't think your nation's that good and you're questioning all these things and, you know, players are injured. And now look, we beat Mexico at the
SF. There's a good chance. There's a very, very, very good chance that it will actually finally come home this time. There's actually a very, very good chance. That performance yesterday was, as I think everyone's been saying it. I think you just said it there. I think it's probably the best England performance we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I think when you take into account everything, and the fact that we were underdogs, the fact that there was a red card, the fact that penalty against us that was ever so slightly soft. Although I do think the ref got everything right, by the way, and we'll move on to that in a bit. But that performance was absolutely unbelievable. And I don't think that, like, the style of football that we play has changed that much from Southgate's style. I don't think the style of football is that different. But what Thomas Tuchel's done is he's given us that extra 5%. He's given us a set of bollocks, which we haven't had for 5, 6, 7 years. And we had it during the golden generation, but they couldn't play together. Now this team can play together. And I feel like Southgate's whole moral was like, we're great guys, we're friends, we'll work together, we'll fight for each other on the pitch. Whereas like Thomas Tuchel has come in and he's basically said like, you're fucking great at football. I'm a really good manager. We may as well just win the World Cup. That's basically the vibe.
That's the vibe. You're like, good, I'm good, let's go and win it.
It's like you're really good, I'm really good. And like Southgate was just a bit too soft. And yeah. I mean, let's not get like ahead of ourselves. Like the game against Ghana was really poor. The game against Panama was really poor. The game against Congo was really poor. And I, at that point, I'm not going to lie. Like afterwards, I was saying, there's no way we're going to win the World Cup. And afterwards, I was saying, Thomas Tuchel is no different whatsoever from Southgate. They're just the same. They're not going to release the handbrakes. But I think that doesn't give enough credence to the fact that it's really, really hard against a low block. When two teams have come up against us and actually gone for it in Mexico and Croatia, we've scored 7 goals in those two games. And yesterday, we were so, so good. And I think the thing about this England team that I really like is that everybody knows their roles. Like, know what? Like, Dan Byrne comes on. He's not gutted that he's not starting. He just comes on. And he just heads everything away. John Stones, who's one of the most decorated defenders in English history, is fine being on the bench. And when he comes on, he controls it. He calms it down. He makes everyone better. And I just feel like we've got like a really good recipe now.
Mm. I think you hit the nail on the head. I just think, I think you're right. I just think I was more not even surprised. I said we'll win the game, but I just didn't know. I didn't know we had that in us. I didn't know we had that gear in us. And it's funny, listen, I don't want to always link it back to Arsenal, but we're kind of, at times, we were the same last season, like quite risk-averse, but you will have a good performance in them. If a team comes and tries to play against Arsenal, we'll give you a good game. We'll give you a good game and we'll probably likely pop you off the pitch. That's why teams sat in a low block. And I feel like nations tried to do that to England and now they're trying to, they believed in their source, Mexico, and thought, we could do the biggest shock. I spoke to a Mexican fan, actually, before, from Mexico, and he said, listen, it's going to be the biggest upset in world football in Mexico knocking us out. And it just never went that way. It never even looked like it was going that way.
I also don't think that's true. I actually weirdly think that we were the underdogs yesterday. I feel like with everything against us, with like the potential change in time, with the weather, with the altitude, with the fact that it was Mexico, Mexico City, I feel like we were actually kind of the underdogs yesterday. Yeah. I don't know that many people who expected us to win. I didn't. I thought that we could win, but I didn't think it would be easy by any stretch of the imagination. And I certainly didn't think that we'd score three goals.
Yeah, unbelievable. And just on that, I know we've got a special guest waiting in the wings, but like, Jude Bellingham, fair play. Like, him and Harry Kane. And you know what? More so, listen, I'm a striker lover. I'm an ex-striker. I looked at the movement for his first movement was unbelievable. To give Jude the space, the way he diverted to remove the defender out of that spot for Jude. I know Jude came in a bit late and ended up heading it, but the way he headed it is where Harry Kane was originally standing. I think that was incredible. And just the penalty he took, just everything. Harry Kane, to me, is just... And I'm so glad I didn't play for Tottenham, so I can actually eulogise about him and don't feel guilty and be honest with my general thoughts. I think he's incredible. And Jude Bellingham's a big game player. Like, I think he doesn't get the credit. I think a lot of people do criticise him. I think the media are harsh on him. But what he actually turns up for such a young lad, I've got to give him his credit. I don't think people talk about him enough. I think we understand he's a quality player, but he has a big set of cojones as well. He says, you know what? And sometimes that might rub people up the wrong way, the way he is, but I just think it's phenomenal. He really... really was incredible. He was amazing.
He turns up every time, doesn't he? And I'm not even going to deny it. I was one of those people who I always knew he was good because I know about football. It's, anyone who's got eyes can see that he's a very good player.
Yeah.
I did occasionally think that maybe the PR machine was a little bit over the top.
Look at that.
And I did think that sometimes maybe he did a little bit too much, especially when he was playing for England. He'd often like steal the ball off other players, and he'd obviously like play in a few different positions, and sometimes it got a little bit messy. I did feel like that, but yesterday was a performance where he was just like, I'm him, I'm that guy.
Yeah.
And this World Cup altogether, like, realistically, let's look at our team. We've got an okay squad with two world-class players. We've got a good squad with two world-class players.
Does Norway have the same Odegaard and Haaland or not?
I don't think Odegaard's anywhere near world class. No, I really don't. I watched him yesterday. He didn't even. Neither did Arsenal fans.
No. I'm not disagreeing. I just I thought I might catch you on a little.
I think we've got better players in Norway. I think man for man, apart from Erling Haaland, you'd probably pick almost every single one of our players. But in the same way that, yeah, I think that like, we've got good players. And we've got two world-class players. And we're really lucky that both Harry Kane and Jude Bellingham have turned up at this tournament. Because if either of them had a bad night last night, we wouldn't have won the game.
Right.
You need those big players to turn up. And I just can't believe how good we were yesterday.
Yeah.
I can't believe how good we were.
Two things. The Mexico fans setting off fireworks and playing the mariachi band or whatever, the band outside the hotel. Hold that. Hold that.
Class that. That's what you want.
We like the banter. I'll be honest.
Yeah,
as much as it annoys me, sometimes I get wound up about things. I actually, yeah, like you said, I do love football needs that. But hold, because it didn't work.
Hold it.
Second one is just lastly, like, just proud of them. So proud of them. Like, I watched that game yes, and the country is a bit fractured at the moment. There is obviously, everyone keeps talking about things aren't in the best places here in the UK at times, and the world is a bit divided. But football does bring people together. That is a fact. But that whistle went, and I said, I'm so proud of every single one of them. Like, their mentality, the balls, all of that to just go through a game, 10 men, for quite a majority of the game, big period of the game, at a stadium that's so iconic, with all the Mexican fans there. I just think you lot really, really... And the performance was phenomenal. Like, it was like everyone knew what they were doing. Kane knew how to win the game by, like, buying the foul, slowing it down. Obviously, the interview after with him with his voice gone, all it was class. Everything was just so. Apart from, listen, the Henderson breaking his arm out was awful. But like this,
even that's cool. He didn't play. And he broke his arm and got fucked. Like,
I'm so glad you're my co-host because there's some things I'm like, I'm trying to do. Not even the PR thing, but I try to just toe on the line. But you just get it. You just are there. And like, no, you know, that's what I wanted to say. It is class. It builds. It's just built for just such a brilliant game.
He's class. And you've got to give Tuchel his credit as well. Like, you've played football. You've been a professional footballer. I've worked in football for years. Anyone who knows anything about football said, nullify them for the first 20 minutes, then we attack. Quieting down the crowd, then we attacked. And the game plan just worked perfectly. And when we went down to 10 men, he made the exact right substitutes at the exact right time. Because even I, you know, when he went five at the back, that was like 74 minutes in. That was just after the second hydration break. Yeah. And I thought, we've got at least 25 minutes included added time here. You've gone too early. You've definitely gone too early. But to be fair to Tuchel, he obviously identified the fact that their only threat came from crosses.
Yeah.
You bring on John Stones, you bring on Dan Burton, and the game's really done. At that point, the game's really
done. Yeah, I was nervous, though. They were getting shot. I mean, there were nothing chances. But
they didn't have any chances, did they?
I know. Jordan Pickford just scared. Like, he's doing the high claims, but he's not claiming it. He's just punched. And it shuddered me a little bit. But, you know, fair play to him. He actually had a really good game, but he just, yeah.
When I said before that I think the referee got everything wrong, you did a face. Everything right, sorry, you did a face. You, which decision were you not happy with?
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure. I was running through all the decisions.
The red card was an absolutely disgraceful. Yeah, it's a stupid thing to do in a game of that magnitude. It's just stupid. And to be honest, he shouldn't have been playing right back anyway.
Yeah.
He's not good enough for right back. Sorry.
I think you're right. I think all decisions were made right. They were. Yeah, they were. They were. So I've just really got in my head, like, that France game. I'm not going to talk about it long because we're gonna bring in.
No, we can go into it.
That referee and officiating in that France game was the worst. We talk about VAR. Are you serious? I swear down. I watched that and I was in disgust. I was embarrassed to say I'm a football fan. I was embarrassed to say that was a representation of one of the elite referees in the game. Paraguay were trying to literally break people's legs and just be like, and listen, they got a lot of harsh criticism and a lot of hate because of their tactics in that game. And rightly so, as much as, you know, back in the day, that's all acceptable. Maybe, you know, sometimes I do miss. I don't miss that because I think the ref should have got hold of that from early on and he didn't have a clue. One of the worst, and it's not even just him, it's all the officials that were involved in that game, from fourth officials, VAR. Honestly, they should never be allowed to ref again. Like, and I'm never really big on refs. I know I'm doing the geeky nerds. I'm doing the Kim here, specky little nerds. But like, I just sat there. I felt uncomfortable. I was like, is he not gonna? He's just not booking. There was one player just literally got away with absolute murder. Literally, like, yeah. I was just like, what is going on?
The refereeing in that game was absolutely terrible.
It's atrocious.
I do think, first of all, I love the fact that Paraguay were doing that because they were never going to win the game clean and fair. And I think that's what international football is about, play to your strengths. And the South Americans love to shit out, and I think they did it really, really well. And there was a point about 25 minutes in where they wound Mbappe up so much that he did actually go head-to-head.
Yeah, he did.
And I thought, if he nuts him out there, he's sent off, and their game plan has worked to an absolute T. So I don't mind it. I also think that this World Cup has been the best standard of refereeing we've ever seen. Yellow cards are way down. They're not stopping the game. The games have been way quicker. People are getting away with a lot more physicality. And that's been a massive
problem. Apart from the keepers, let's be real. The keepers, come on. The keepers have been getting away with ridiculous
stuff. The keepers do just get away with murder. That's just football. But I do think that a massive problem in the Prem is that the games are so stop-start because there's so many fouls for such weak things. And I think this World Cup has been by far the best refereeing I've seen. That game was bad.
Yeah, that was terrible.
I think overall, it's been really good.
Because even if you're going to talk about the tactics, like Kane, I think Kane's the world's best at it. And like nudging a player, going down to he used to grind my gears when he was at Tottenham. But you know what? That is me as a striker. I will buy every foul and go down easy. So yeah. So for me, that game just highlighted how bad that standard refereeing for that game in particular needs to be looked at, definitely. But yeah, that was maybe something for rant of the week. But that was my rant, even though we're not doing that for rant of the week. But I just thought I'd add that in there. And then after this, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest. It's been a while, like I said, a special guest goes by the name of Marco Halliwell. He'll be joining us straight after this.
VAR, you serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.
We are back. I mean, a little bit of a difference. We have a special guest. It's been a while since we had a special guest. Marco, congratulations. You're an honorary special guest since we've actually had a big break from special guests, but you're the one to return. No pressure. No pressure. You'll be all good.
Yeah.
It's been a while since
you've had one. Thanks for having me, guys.
You're the perfect one. You're welcome. Can I ask you just quickly, sorry, just off the bat, what club team do you support?
Kim knows. We've had a bit of banter last season. He knows.
I didn't even see the cannon. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the cannon's there, mate.
Kim.
Yeah.
Champions, Kim. Just want to, you know, just
everyone's forgotten about it now. The World Cup's on, so I'm not.
No. Me and Cecil have not forgotten. You see how Saka and Declan were running the show yesterday. It's hard to forget.
Oh, Saka. It's the truth.
That goal, the second goal. Let's get into the audience and people. He also got an assist as well. Let's discuss Marco. Let's let the audience know a bit about you as well. I know you've got a song. I know you're part of, you know, the half. Part of the Half Timers as a band, but you have a song, and I need you to kind of paint a picture of this song, obviously around the World Cup, but also how it came about. I want the full context. I want you to paint that for me. How did this all come about?
Okay, so my name's Marco from the Half Timers, as you said, and that's my niche. I do England tournament songs. This is my fourth one, probably my best one as well. It's an absolute banger. So I came up with the hook. I was in Berlin for the final, and I had a song out about Gareth, an ode to Gareth Southgate. But I was in Berlin, and then the hook came to me. I was just thinking, what if I never see like the men's team? I'm saying the men's team because I don't want to get any shots fired at me, because we have seen the Lionesses obviously lift a cup twice, back-to-back Euros, fair play. But I was like, what if I never see the Lions lift a trophy in my lifetime? So that's where the hook came. All my life. That was like in my head. So that's sort of where it originated from. And the song's all about an Englishman or woman. Any Englishman or woman who's born 1967 onwards. So all of our lives, we've never seen it. We've never felt it. You know, like the people that actually saw that win in 1966, there's not many of them about anymore, you know, and it's becoming more of a distant memory. And yeah, okay, it's a bit of a morbid message, but I kind of just thought, I'm going to jinx myself. You know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a banger, and England are going to win the World Cup, and it's going to go away. So that's the way it's working.
I love that. I love the origin story of it. And fair, like, all your life, all our lives, everyone is, I'm sure, not being around 60 years. I'm sure as much as I'm tired, I've got my bags under my ass while standing up watching the game last night. None of us were around when we obviously won it in 66. That's amazing. How did you get Carlton and Cole involved then? How did that come about?
Me and Carlton have been working together for a couple of years at TalkSport Friday nights. And I just became pally with him. And he sort of said he did a bit of music back in the day before he became a footballer, a bit of MCing. Hounded him a bit. Our story's a bit different. He said I hounded him. But once he heard the demo, he was very keen to get involved. He was definitely up for it. It's been a real journey for me, because obviously 4 years ago I was an estate agent and I wasn't in this world. And now I've got an ex-England international on the track, and he gives it a nice bit of cred, and his verse is sick. Like, I rate it. To be honest, I didn't want to give that verse away. Like, I wrote that verse myself. And it's quite funny because I was like, all right, which verse do you want? And he was like, yeah, you're going to need to move aside for that second verse, bro. Like, Jeremy, you just alpha mailed me. And I was like, yeah, fair enough.
So did you write the verse then? Or did he give his own verse? Or was it you? So it was your
No, I've written then? The whole song. Yeah, I've written the whole song. Super proud of it, man. Yeah, I just really wanted to capture what it is to be an Englishman. Obviously, it's a bit of a weird time in the country this year, over the last few years. You know, not going to get too much into the politics, but, you know, whether it's us feeling it in our pockets or, just animosity, like we're all at each other. Yeah. I just wanted to capture it. I wanted to try and bring the country together. I wanted to relate to everyone. I just wanted to capture England, you know, which is not an easy thing to do. But hopefully people can relate to the song one way or another.
How's it going, the whole stuff?
Yeah, how is it?
You know what? It's going all right, mate, actually. It's actually started to really pick up the last few days. So I got an email in June, like early June, saying Spotify have chosen your song to be like added to like Spotify Radio in like discovery mode, but it wasn't going to kick in until the 1st of July. And I just noticed since the 1st, just like all of a sudden, it just went up by like 1,500, like in the last like 2 days, just on Spotify. But, you know, the videos had, I don't know, like between all of the different platforms, kind of 60-70k views, which is pretty cool. Since, you know, it's only been out for like 3 weeks, the video, and you know, we've reached millions of people between like TikTok. You know, there's sort of so many different platforms, it's hard to keep. I actually need to have a good look at the analytics. I should have looked at the analytics before I came on and given you guys the numbers, because they're pretty impressive. Like, it's definitely reached a lot of people. A lot of people have heard the track, and yeah, it's tough. It's a tough game. Sorry.
Were you not on Sky Breakfast, Sky Sports?
Oh, yeah. We were on Sky Sports. Yeah, we were on Sky Sports News. That was pretty cool a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, I mean, there's quite a few tracks out this year, like more than I can ever remember. There's like, you know, there's a lot of noise in the space, and some of them are great. Some of them are awful. There is a lot of AI slop. But there's one or two tunes that that are pretty good. There's basically like two or three. R1's one of them that like they're good and they're worth listening to.
Okay, come on then, Marco. Right, hear me out. We have a segment on this show called Truth Box. I'm not gonna throw it on you because it gets very technical and we get into some deep truths. If you don't tell the truth and you have to swear like you're gonna tell the truth, and if you don't, you have to do a forfeit and all that. I'm not gonna throw that much pressure on you, but I do need some honesty. Cole, was he your number one? Like, I know you said like there's a lot of ex-footballers, that rap or have musical talents. Even in England, there's some famous England World Cup songs already with some ex England legends. Garton Cole, is he? And I like Garton Cole. I've met him as well. He's a lovely lad. But is there anyone? Is he your number one? Was there anyone else that you said, do you know what? I wouldn't have mind him if he featured. I don't know, a Declan Rice, a Rio, a John Barnes. Like, was there anyone else, or was it always Garton Cole? And you're an Arsenal fan. I'd be intrigued to know if there was some of them.
Nah, do you know what?
Maybe.
I didn't even think about anyone else. It was always Carlton because I had the relationship. But that's a really good question, because had I sort of not had that relationship with Carlton, would I have tried to approach someone? God, that's a really good question. And I actually genuinely never even thought about anyone else. I was like, it's got to be Carlton. What I like about Carlton is, you know, like Wrighty, everyone loves Carlton. Come on, like, he is one of those guys that no one hates him. Like he is one of those guys that can be fluid between fan bases. No one's hating. I think Ian Wright as well. Like, no one can really say that they hate him. You've got a weird bone in your body if you hate Ian Wright. And I feel like it's the same with Carlton, man. He's just a lovable guy. And yeah, that's a really good question, actually. I mean, John Barnes would have been great.
What I do, John Barnes would have been good.
That would have been sick, but you know, they actually re-released the track this year. Like, that's just my luck, isn't it? When I released my first ever song was called "Coming Home for Christmas," and the Badil and Skinner re-released their track the same year as well. So basically, each time I've come up with my best ever work, the two best World Cup songs have remastered their song in the same year.
Coming home. Marco, no, you're smashing it. And you know, "Coming Home for Christmas," what a name. What I know, obviously, the original, but that would have been so smart. I suppose, even at the time of the 2022 World Cup, like that, that would have been...
Mate, it's good. Go check it out. Check it out. There's a good, fun video as well. The World Cup's coming home. The World Cup's coming home for Christmas. Rudolph's on the phone. He said, "Don't you know that Santa's English?"
Oi!
It's a good track, mate. It's a good track.
Songs to my phone. No, big up, my man. And do you know what? I asked you that question because I was thinking, you know, if you put your Simon Cow hat on, who would you have picked? But I think, you know, fair play, you and Carlton. Like you said, you've had the relationship. I think that's key. If you've got the relationship, I think that's the one. And like you said, he's so loved by so many. Like, even like I said, I've met him. I think he's a top lad. So good. I have to definitely dive off.
Mark, have we got to get into last night then?
Yeah. Come on, mate. I just had to watch it again. I had to watch it again. I've literally just finished watching it before. Come on. I was like, I need to watch that again. That was crazy. Like,
yeah. Were you confident before? Was it a game like that? Like, were you confident before, Marco? Like, did you? Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was always mild doing as well as like, who they playing, but they, I think it's certainly you know, like 97. I think of like and two losses. Obviously, they are the hand of God game was there against us. There was just there was so many like Pelé lifted the World Cup. They're like Azteca has heritage, but again, and I was buying into it. I'll be honest, I was a bit nervous for this game, but seeing that performance has changed. I said this to Kim earlier. It just changed so much for me. Like I just think. I don't want to say it's coming home because it just feels like 60 years, Cecil. You don't have to, even though you might have a little inkling, it might start to build and grow in you. Same when I was watching Arsenal as well. Like, I just, when I watched Arsenal, I was like, oh, I don't want to say we're going to win the league, but I believe we will. It's too early to say right now, even though Kim was saying, don't wait, even though he was saying earlier, like, it is coming home. I've got to give them so much credit, the boys. Coming home, go on.
I agree. I honestly think that yesterday was the toughest fixture we'll have until we get to the final. I think Norway are great, and I think we're probably just going to have to accept the fact that Erling Haaland will score one. Maybe we'll score two, but we'll just have to outscore them. I fancy Colombia against Argentina, to be honest, and I think we would beat both of them. I think we'd beat either Colombia or Argentina. And then, as you say, it's France. But anyone can have an off day in 90 minutes. I think it's unlikely that we'll win the World Cup because France are so good. But France have got Morocco on Wednesday. That is not the easiest game in the world by any stretch of the imagination. There's a lot of history between both of those countries. There's a lot of the France squad who are also heritage-wise Moroccan and vice versa. There are a lot of Moroccan teams, the Moroccan players who live in France. So I think there's like an interesting, tasty element to that. And there's a potential chance that they don't even get through that. They didn't play that great against Paraguay. I thought the wingers were quite poor. So there is a chance that England could not face France and therefore could win the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. France just look incredible. They just look incredible. They're phenomenal. I think the players, like all of them, a lot of them are like the best players right now in their positions in the world for their team. I mean, Olise, unbelievable. Doué is unbelievable. Even though Doué can't even get in right now. Which is a mental thing to say. Mbappe is obviously Mbappe, but like, it's going to be tough. Like, if we don't meet them until we have to meet them, it's a one-off game. And I always say it. In a one-off game, anything can happen in a one-off game. So, but yeah. So I don't know. It is France though. Then Didier Deschamps as well, obviously leading the helm now. I mean, it's tournament football. Thomas Tuchel is definitely the man that's built for these sort of big moments. So potentially it can happen. But you're right. France is the one everyone's looking at. You said Argentina. You kind of brushed off Argentina to a side there, Kim, a little bit. I think Argentina.
Well, just before we say bye to Marco, let's get his predictions then. So England, yes. Norway, what's your prediction?
Let's go 2-1. Let's go 2-1 England. Erling Haaland score once, 2-1 England. Yeah.
And then what is your prediction for who we will play in the semi-final? Do you think it'll be Argentina? Do you think it'll be Colombia?
Argentina.
Oh, that's a tough one.
And what's your prediction then for England-Argentina in the semi-final?
2-2, England win on pens.
Messi.
England win on pens, 2-2.
2-2, wow. England win on pens. And then I assume you think we'll play France in the final. What is your prediction then for England France in the final?
1-1. It will go to penalties, and then I can't call it.
Yeah, when
it's a coin flip. I've never seen it. I've never felt it, lads. You know, like it's so hard to commit. You know, it's so hard to say those words. It's coming home. Like it's hard to say it. You know,
it is.
Just enjoy the ride. It's going to be a roller coaster. You know, it's just.
Right, easy. You need to be in a change rooms, Marco. Listen, thank you so much, my boy. And an Arsenal fan makes it even sweeter. We're champions anyway. But thank you so much, Marco Halliwell, for joining us. Of course, from the Halftimers band. Go check out his music. Go add it to your Spotify playlist. Please, for me and for everyone here and to all the listeners on VAR you see us, please go check him out. Marco, it's been a pleasure, my man. And let's hope we do go all the way. Thank you for joining us. Legend. Right. I do you know what, Kim? It's funny, right? Like, he's right. I don't want to say it's coming home. But just know, every round we go into, if we win, I'm saying we're going to beat. Like what he just did there, yeah? I'm doing the same. Yeah, we beat that team. Yeah, we beat that nation. Yeah, we beat that nation. Yeah, we beat that. Even though I just can't not say it. I'm at a point in this World Cup where they've got me now. They've got me. I did this with Arsenal. I said there was a time, I remember I did this half three season or three quarters where I was like, I don't care. Now, at this point, I'm going all in. Like, I'm backing them all the way. Like, there might be things that I'd question, but I'm in.
My point is, the World Cup comes around once every 4 years, right? What is the point in me not enjoying it by thinking that we're going to win it? I may as well just think we're going to win it, have a great couple of weeks, and then be upset when we don't win it, then be nervous about not winning it. Because ultimately, me and you have discussed this before, I care about City 10,000 times more than I care about England. Yeah. I would love England to win the World Cup. It would mean so much. And this World Cup has been so good. And I would have such an amazing time if we won the World Cup.
Yeah. But
it doesn't mean quite as much. So for me, I just want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy thinking that we're going to win the World Cup. I don't need to do the negative, pessimistic stuff. I think that we will win the World Cup. Or I think at least we will get to the final. And that's all I need to say.
I like it. I like the energy, and like Marco did, you kind of got me, like you really just got me, and we're right to believe. And again, people, I don't know, people paint a brush that people paint a brush that England are arrogant, which is arrogant. We're arrogant fans. We think, you know, we start football and all this, and we're so entitled. But I don't know, the team are a good team, and I know we've had golden generations in the past. And I asked a really big question on our watch along last night. I said, like, we had a golden generation, but everyone talks about other nations as they were so good. I said, do you think, because we said like, oh, that Spain team or that Italian team, that Netherlands team, the Argentina team, that Brazil team back in 1998, 81 or 82, whatever it was, 88, all these, they were so good. They were so good. I said, do you think any other nation says that England team with David Beckham, Wayne Rooney, Scholes, Gerrard, and all that, do you think they said that they was, do you think people talk about us how we talk about them? And they were like, well, no, we had a golden generation, but there were nations that were better than what we had. And I said, well, it is a golden generation, but then it's just at the wrong era. I think right now, we're in an era where we have a great team, but also France are an amazing team as well. So it's going to go down to that, in my opinion. There's other nations, but if the World Cup can throw up surprises, but hey, we'll have to find out. Listen, after this, we'll be doing the look forward, of course, the head of the rest of the World Cup games and some just the conversations around it. Norway, Haaland, the City boy. Ugh. Versus some of my boys, you know, Declan Rice and them, man. Not to say that the captain of Norway is an Arsenal player. He is, but we're going to get into a bit more of that straight after this.
VAR, you serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.
All right, Mr. City. I know Odegaard is there, and it was a lovely moment. He gave the drumstick to Han, let him conduct the row. I loved all that. A bit sick in my throat, come up a little bit, but I don't mind it. Listen, this football is part of it. They're the nation. They're companions within their nation. I get it. I get it. I will say, let me just go at the start here. Yeah, I think we can beat Norway. I'm more confident we beat Norway than Mexico. We played very strange. There's just less factors, and like you said, I don't think they've got a better squad than England, even though Northern Mexico, but I just think there was too many factors playing in. Now there's not that. However, Norway in that last couple of minutes against Brazil were taking the piss, as in they were in a flow state where I was like, I thought I was watching Brazil watching Norway, so I said, oh no, if they've got this in their locker. And they can, they're taking them. It's literally like a heavyweight boxer. That's what it's like blow for blow for blow that game. And then like the heavyweight come out on top and he was just playing with him, playing with his food, just playing with the knockout. And I was like, oh no, Norway might have something for us. Yeah. I will always back the boys. Like I said, I'm in now. And I think we will win the game. But that moment when Neymar just takes out Odegaard, before that they're doing Rondo, I was thinking, oh sugar, they ain't too bad, you know.
They're not a bad team at all. But I do think that we should have the beating of them. I do think, like I said before, I think we're just going to have to accept the fact that Haaland's going to score. And that's fine. He'll score because all he needs is one chance to score. And he's probably the greatest finisher in football in history, probably. Let's be honest. He's certainly not one of the best players. He's not even one of the best players around. But as a goal scorer, there's no one better. I mean, if he was playing in Pele's time, he would have scored like 10,000 goals. Let's be completely honest about it.
Yeah, his goal catalogue's boring and not great, but the way he's a goal scorer.
He's the best.
There's players of better goals, but I will say as a goal scorer, there's not many.
68 goals in 60 games for Norway or something. Like, it's just like no one scores that much. It's insane. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that game. I'm going to read some fixtures as well. You tell me what you think the score gone.
Before we do that, sorry, Norway, while we're here, and I apologies to this live on the show, but I just want to see Norway's FIFA ranking because I was so fascinated by the FIFA rankings. And I'll just do it very quickly because obviously, like I said, we're fourth, Mexico are ninth, Norway are 19th, Senegal are above them in 18th, and Uruguay are below them in 20th, Japan are 17th. Okay, that is fascinating. Obviously, they're kind of not new to this, but they're like...
They haven't been at the World Cup in like 40 years.
I don't think
anyone expected much from them. And I think Haaland's obviously carrying them. The goalkeeper had an incredible performance yesterday against Brazil. He made some absolutely magic saves. And I do think that like in the World Cup, like these individual moments and these individual pieces of brilliance is what wins you it.
100%.
And I think we're so lucky, by the way, we are so lucky to be watching a World Cup where Messi's performing, Haaland's performing, Kane's performing, Bellingham's performing, Haaland's performing. Like every single player who you look at before the World Cup and think, oh, I hope they're going to play really well, they are all playing really well.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, let's go through some of the score predictions. Let's see.
So we have got four more round of 16 games. So tonight, Portugal against Spain.
Big game. Big game. Big blood clot game. Big. I don't really know where it goes. It's got a draw.
I'll tell you what it will be. It'll be a boring, low-scoring game. I can guarantee you. Yeah. You know, like the last time they played in the World Cup was 3-3. And Ronaldo scored those hat-tricks. It was 3-3. There's no way this game is going to be that good. I think it's going to be a real boring game. And I think it'll be 1-0 or penalties.
I was going to go 2-2, but it won't be that. You're right. It'll be more boring. It'll probably be 1-1. Penalties would be class. I'd love penalties. Go on, I'll go penalties as well. 1-1.
Who wins?
Oh, I haven't thought that far ahead.
I think I'll paint my colours to the mask. I think Spain win 1-0.
Yeah, I think Portugal go out. Sad to say, because I want
Spain on penalties.
Yeah.
USA Belgium. Let's quickly caveat by talking about the whole Donald Trump thing.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
USA win because they have the FIFA president on speed dial. They win this game against Belgium. I don't know. If, just whatever happens, something.
Sorry, but what? How can the president call FIFA to get a red card rescinded?
I've never seen, heard, sniffed anything like it. Couldn't believe it. I've never seen anything or like, what is that? What is that? He made a phone call to the FIFA president. Well, obviously, there's other things that went down because I'm sorry. I don't care if anyone picks up the phone to you and says, oh, that needs to not happen. And they got, there's no way he's just changing that straight away. So, I don't know what's happened. The game
is the annoying thing about it is, right, it wasn't a red card. And if there were protocols in place where they could review red cards and annul them, that would be fine. But it's been delayed for a year. That doesn't make any sense. It's completely unprecedented. But I'm glad it's not a red card because it wasn't a red card and he's their best player. And you don't want teams to be hamstrung by the fact that their players have got sent off unjustifiably. So in a way, I'm happy at the outcome. But I don't really understand where we go from here if the presidents of countries are now allowed to dictate what happens on the football pitch. Is a very, very, very dangerous precedent to set. Unless FIFA come out and they, even if it's a lie, I don't even mind if they lie at this point. I would just like them to come out and be like, oh no, this was the protocol that we followed and it's actually completely legal and justifiable. I actually want them to lie because we can't accept that the president of the United States can dictate whether a player is sent off or not in the World Cup. We just can't allow it. So please just lie to me.
Just quickly. I'm getting flashbacks of you're playing in a game, £1 billion game, Real Madrid versus.
Bro, it is.
It's making up rules. Like, that's where it reminds me.
Playing ref of the day, it's absolutely quality. But so, yeah, I think USA win that. I think Belgium are absolutely terrible anyway. I think they are the most disappointing international team of our lifetimes.
Our lifetime? Oh my God, that is
amazing. Think about it. Of the players they've had, they had like De Bruyne, Lukaku, Dries Mertens, Eden Hazard. They had an amazing defence. They had Thibaut Courtois. And they're always shit and they're always crap to watch. I hope USA win. And 2-0 USA.
Yeah,
Argentina versus Egypt.
2-1 Argentina.
Yeah, I think 2-1 Argentina. Switzerland versus Colombia.
Switzerland versus Colombia? Was Colombia versus Brazil? No, they're out. Oh, was that what it was? Switzerland versus Colombia. Colombia win. Maybe. Yeah. I'll just go 1-0. Sorry.
Colombia win 2-1. Now, we only know two quarterfinals so far, but they do take place before our next show, so I'm going to ask you them. France, Morocco.
There's some beef there. There was another beef. What was it? There was another beefy game as well that's got a bit of tension. So I'm gonna go France. I don't want it to be France. I would love a shock. I'm sorry, but it's gonna be France. Give me, I don't know. It's gonna be a last minute 1-0.
I think Morocco win on penalties.
That's my
hot take.
I'd love it.
Finally, Norway, England, Saturday night, 10 PM.
Norway win. Don't be silly. It's coming, England. It's coming home. England win. Do you know what? We're actually scoring. I'm gonna go 3-1. Haaland scores one, and then we pull away.
4-2 I'm going for.
Fair. All right. Well, that is the predictions done for the upcoming games. That is our thoughts and feelings around Mr. Donald Trump picking up the phone and playing ref of the day. If you know about ref of the day, then you're a loyal listener. It's quite funny. That's what it reminds me of. But listen, thank you all for listening to today's show. Big up our special guest, Marco, who joined us as well. Go check out, like I mentioned before, the songs he's doing around the World Cup. And of course, get ready and stay listening to VAR Are You Serious on FUBAR Radio, brought to you by myself, Cecil G and Kim Kafari. We'll see you again next week. Take care. Love.
This is The Different Football Show. VAR Are You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.